Down to the main doors, where a sleepy young sec guard limped over to let him out into the cool night air. There was another sec man, looking even older than Doc, carrying a single-shot musket on his shoulder, pacing beneath the shadow of the high wall.
Who's that?
Doc Tanner.
Eh? Hey, you have to speak up a little. Yours a tad weaker than it once was.
Doc Tanner! One of the Outlanders!
All right. No need to shout at me, Doc. Not that deaf.
Doc left the sentry and strolled quietly around the back of the bill, approaching the stable. He caught movement in the huddled darkness and stepped toward it, drawing the Lama.
Halt! Who goes there?
Friend.
Dean, that's not...
It's me, Doc. Jamie.
Ah, yes. Of course it is. Forgive an old man's foolishness, my boy.
Sure.
Wait a moment. Wait a gosh darn moment, Jamie. Were you thinking of heading out there on your own? That's it, isn't it?
Doc moved closer, putting out a friendly arm, feeling Jamie shrink from him.
You'll tell my father. Then he won't even let me come along with you.
There was a small iron bench in the yard, and Doc led the Baron's son to it, sitting down beside him.
You were planning to go ahead, were you not?
Yes, Doc.
Why? No, don't answer that for a moment. Might it be that you had a thought to go to this Straub and the Brushwooders? Reveal who you were and hope they would let Dean go? Could it truly be that?
No.
The lie was so transparent that Doc nearly laughed, just barely checking himself.
Of course, it wouldn't be, my lad. Because, assuming they believed you, they would slit the throat of young Dean within 5 heartbeats of your admission. And where would our plan be then? Riddle me that, Jamie.
Spoiled.
The thought does you nothing but credit, lad. It was an honorable and courageous intention. The shame is that nobody else will ever know of it.
What?
I shall tell nobody, Jamie. Will you?
Suppose not.
And you promise me on your father's honor that you will now go to your room and try to snatch some sleep, and I shall do the same.
All right.
Promise me, if you please.
I promise.
Good lad. One last thing. Before you scud away, I would deem it an honor to shake you by the hand, Jamie Wayman.
A small hand slipped into his, and the old man gripped it firmly. For a fraction of a second, Doc had a vision of his long-lost little boy, Joian, wondering how his life had turned out without a father.
Thanks, Doc.
You're most welcome.
Sitting still, Doc could feel the cold of the metal through his breeches as the lithe figure of the boy vanished toward the main house. Doc didn't bother to go to bed, contenting himself with sitting in the deserted stable yard, alone with his thoughts and memories. Rainey was already there in the yard when Ryan and the others arrived at the stable. Doc was stalking around, breath feathering from his mouth in the cold, slapping his hands for warmth. The group of 10 sec men stood huddled together, a few of them smoking, the glowing ends of their cigarettes like tiny beacons in the darkness.
Horse is saddled and ready.
Ryan turned and counted heads, feeling a sharp twinge from the arrow wound. Everyone was there, all fully armed. JB had the Smith & Wesson scattergun over his back, the Uzi slung across his right shoulder. Jack was limping heavily, his snow-white head bobbing up and down in the streaks of moonlight. The Styrocross Ryan's shoulder moved as he set his foot into the stirrup and dealt him a painful blow on top of the bandaged injury. It took a great effort not to yelp at the stabbing pain. He waited a few moments, aware of a fresh, warm wetness seeping through the dressing over the wound. This mission wasn't going to be easy. Trader swung into the saddle, his shoulders braced, his head held high.
Everyone ready to ride? Let's do it. I want the kid up ahead with me. Rainey, bring up the rear. Rest, find your own places.
He stared at the group of sec men.
Be careful with those crossbows. Get them armed when we stop and leave the horses.
Ryan fell into place beside Christy, with Doc and JB just behind him. He felt strange to be riding under the orders of Trader once again. It took him back to the long years with the war wags, ravening across Deathlands. The thought of Traitor assuming command of the war party had raised a few doubts in Ryan's mind, but so far the old man seemed to have it all under control. They passed the canyon where they'd spotted the wild pigs, but there was no sign of the meaty creatures. Ryan figured they were probably out in the woods, scavenging for themselves. Something to look out for. The jolting of his horse was causing him a lot of pain in that first hour's ride. He could tell from the tightness of the armorer's face that he, too, was suffering. Jack rode third in line behind Traitor and the boy, but his wounded ankle didn't seem to be giving him any trouble.
How's it going, lover?
It's gone better. It's also gone worse.
Think we can bring Dean out?
Don't see why not. Brushwooders don't have the firepower we do. More numbers, but not a lot more.
They'll be expecting trouble.
Sure. Traitor plans to circle and I'll go in at once. That's his idea.
How will he use the Sekhmen?
I don't know. If it was me, I'd have them come in close behind us. Pick up anyone breaking through.
They're a real nice bunch of guys.
Sure. Nice guys.
Finish last. I know that one, Ryan. Laughed my diapers off at it. Not sure if it's true. But I don't sense any steel in them.
Agreed, babe. That's why close behind us is the safest place for them.
Traitor explained his plan to you?
Not in detail.
Did he ever?
No. Never.
Does that worry you, lover?
Nah. Not really.
Nobody had reckoned on the fog. The night had grown cooler, with chill air moving in off the ocean, mixing with the humid, steamy air over the hot springs of the Scabbies' territory, and moving inland toward the Brushwooders' camp. By the time it coiled in among the tall pines, it had reduced visibility to less than 20 paces. Traitor stood in the stirrups.
JB! Ryan! Get your asses over here!
What is it, Traitor?
The boy reckons we're less than a mile away. Fog makes it a different sort of firefight.
Go in close?
They'll likely have guards out. Could be watching, even this far from their camp.
Brushwood bastards wouldn't come up with that. Too busy fucking and sleeping.
Straub's no stoop.
Ah!
You want to go back to the bill, Ryan? We'll bring Dean out.
Sure you will, Traitor. But I sort of want to be around when you do it.
Jamie was sitting silently beside the grizzled figure of the Traitor, holding the reins of his pony, listening to the discussion of what to do.
I say we leave the Sekhmen here with the horses and go in on foot.
What? You mean just the Sekhmen? Out here on their own in the fire-blasted mist? Come on, Traitor.
What's your problem, Ryan? You don't like taking orders anymore, is that it?
Of course not. From what I've seen and heard about Straub, I reckon he's dangerous. If he's placed distant pickets, they might already know we're here.
All the more reason for the rest of us to go direct into the camp, blasters blazing, without wasting any more time on arguing.
This was the old Traitor, from the early days when Ryan and JB had first joined him, stone certain in his thinking, inflexible, resisting any argument. Later, he'd been content to listen and take advice from them on tactical matters. Now, all of that seemed to have been thrown clean out the door.
Look, there's all sorts of things wrong with this.
Traitor was deliberately ignoring him, shading his eyes as he stared ahead into the bank of roiling fog.
Jack's the best stalker we got, Ryan's second. They're both carrying injuries that would make it suicide to go creepy crawling in. I can just about manage to shoot one-handed, just about. Leaves Abe, Doc, Christy, and Mildred. None of them are that able in hand-to-hand chilling.
Traitor turned slowly.
My memory's turning to gruel. I thought you said I was in charge here. Must be I was wrong about that.
Ryan closed his eye. He could feel the livid scar that seemed across the right side of his face beginning to throb with anger.
Fog like this, Traitor, we can't charge in. Finish up shooting each other. Go in slow and careful and clear them a tent at a time. All of us.
We leave the Sekhmen here. The rest of us go in, and when the shooting starts, they can follow and pick off any brushwood stragglers.
Ryan patted his horse on the side of the neck, trying to relieve his own tension.
What if Straub has men around us now? Those crossbows only give one chance to the Sekhmen. Could get chilled. And once you run in out of the fog, blaster blazing, the first thing they might do is open up my son from throat to groin. If that happens, then the first person I waste is you, traitor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.